The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9 is the amazing passage where we see a leopard and a goat together, and a calf with a lion, and children playing with snakes, and nobody's getting hurt. What's going on in this passage? Is it literal or figurative? Well, stay tuned. We're going to talk about it in the next few minutes here on Grace in Focus. This is the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. We're located in North Texas. We'd love for you to know us better. You can find us at faithalone.org. There you can find information about our free magazine, also called Grace in Focus. You can subscribe to it without paying any money if you live in the lower 48 United States. Otherwise, anywhere else in the world, it's still free, but you have to pay the postage. It's a beautiful magazine, full color. It comes out 6 times a year, and we'd love you to have it. Find out more at faithalone.org. Now, with today's discussion from Isaiah 11, here are Ken Yates and Catherine Wright.
We are continuing our short series, selected passages in the book of Isaiah, and we tried to pick passages that are well known, and that is the case here. You're going to be familiar with it, and I'm going to read starting in verse 6.
You didn't say what chapter.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chapter 11.
That's right.
Chapter 11, starting in verse 6. And here's what Isaiah says. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the young goat, the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young ones shall lie down together. And you mentioned before this, Catherine, that lying down there is an important theme here. Okay? And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play by the cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, as Isaiah gives this prophecy in chapter 11, just as we looked in chapter 9, if you heard that episode, many people spiritualize this.
Yeah.
You know, talking about the lamb and the wolf and the lion, and that creation itself is changed. Or what would we say, the nature of animals, you know, that a kid will be able to play with a cobra. Nothing will happen to them. Again, people are going to take this, I think, one of two ways. And one way people will take it is, well, that's just talking about the church, that in Christ all is at peace.
Or that we are to bring peace to the world. We're to be the city on a hill, right?
And right.
We are to bring peace. Peace on earth, goodwill towards men, that kind of idea.
And the other view would be that this is talking about when everyone goes to be with the Lord.
Yeah.
In heaven, there's going to be perfect peace. And this is just a picture.
Figurative. It's not literal.
A metaphor of it. You know, that what will it be like when we all get to heaven? It'll be like there's no animosity between anything or anybody or anything like that. But of course, we dispensationalists, and I think that's the vast majority of free grace folks, say, no, this is talking literal stuff that he's talking about when Christ returns. When Christ returns, this is the way it's going to be among the animals and among people.
Right.
Just as before there was no animosity between the beasts of the fields and Adam and Eve before they sinned, that's going to be restored.
Human beings were created to live on an earth, to have dominion over the creatures. We were always meant to have physical bodies. So when we talk about the resurrection, it's a literal resurrection of our bodies because we were always created to live on a literal earth and have dominion, reign over the created order. That was the original plan, and God is not going to be thwarted. He is going to fulfill that plan.
It's kind of interesting when you talk to people who spiritualize this, at least in my experience. They don't really talk about the resurrected body much. It's strange to me. You don't hear people discuss that very much. Yeah, there's going to be a resurrection. But and again, I don't want to put too much in it, but I think they would probably say, think it would be kind of like a transparent body or something.
I think some people do think of eating maybe in the resurrection.
But not, you know, the wedding feast. But not in a new world.
No, not in a new world. And then even in that, you know, like the idea of the wedding feast, I think many people do take that figuratively, again, not necessarily literally eating with him over a meal, which is kind of odd because, again, at the Lord's Supper, the Lord seems to be speaking, I won't eat of this. He's literally eating that night. So it seems to me it's going to be a literal meal. But
we also see that there is a child in these verses.
Yeah.
A child is playing with the snakes, mm-hmm. and nothing happens to the child. And so,
and sometimes people will point out, and I know where you're going with that, but just real quickly, that, you know, the snake is, you know, often seen in the mind of Bible students as a picture of Satan and, you know, obviously again, the garden. So that even there, that there's this idea of this enemy you see in the fall will, not Satan himself, obviously, but that this picture that evil will be done away with, if you will. Or something.
And I'm guessing that they would say, like, the curse, for example, right. In Genesis 3, the curse was the snake would be on his belly. And so this is a metaphor of the curse is over and we shouldn't take these things literally. And therefore, there won't be children in the kingdom. Mm. Now, that's where we're going to take this, right? Because the child is just, it's not literal. Mm. And of course, they take this, for example, when Jesus says in the resurrection, they'll be like the angels, and the angels don't have children. Therefore, there's not going to be children in the kingdom. But we know from Isaiah 65 that in the millennial kingdom, people are going to die. There will be children here. And so
there's going to be a lot of children.
Yes. And so we're going to take this to be very literal. We take the children to be literal. They're going to be there in the millennial kingdom. We take these animals to be literal, as when Jesus returns, there's going to be animals on the earth when he returns.
Yeah.
And they will enter into his millennial reign as well.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
And so it's very interesting the way a dispensationalist, a literalist, will look at these verses and someone who's not, as they spiritualize these things. Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the idea of peace, particularly as it relates to the book of Isaiah. Mm-hmm. Because when Isaiah is prophesying,
there ain't no peace.
What kind of condition is the nation in?
Well, and it's not just the nation of Israel, but if you were here in our first episode, we were talking about how if they don't repent, then they're going to be devoured by the sword, by their enemies. And so sure enough, the Assyrians come in, and later the Babylonians are going to completely destroy the temple. But also in chapters 13 through 23, he talks about all their neighbors as well. He talks about Babylon. He talks about Egypt. He talks about all Assyria. He talks about all of these different neighboring Tyre. He talks about cities and nations and groups and how they're all going to fall. They're all going to come to ruin. They're all Moab's going to be destroyed. And it's just so much war and so much carnage, which, you know, I think we mentioned this briefly in the last episode, that when people try to relate this, the whole point of this passage, and even in chapter 9, is that when the king comes, it's going to be peace.
And certainly there's this picture of the lamb wolf. And the wolf lying down together, and the idea of a child playing in complete security.
Right.
And
we don't see that today.
Right.
That's not happening in Israel today. And so when people say that this is referring to today, it's just bonkers to me. The
like
Lord
the
is
church.
Not, if the Lord's ruling right now over the earth, I've got questions.
And in verse 9, it, for those who will say, well, this is just talking about heaven, it says in verse 9 that the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord. In other words, the teachings of the Lord is going to go out to the whole earth.
And is that described today?
Right.
As we look at, you know, the news of the world today, do we say that the knowledge of the Lord is in the earth. No. But yeah, this idea of lying down in verse 7, right? That the young one shall lie down together, the cow and the bear. In Isaiah, as you see Judah and all their neighbors are being destroyed, you know, Assyria comes in, for example, and is going to burn down the vineyards of Moab or whatever. What happens a lot is that as a depiction of that discipline, the land is destroyed. The people are fleeing, you know, refugees have to flee out of their homeland. And as they flee, animals then come into the wastelands and they lie down and they get to eat without fear of the people because the people aren't there. They're either dead or they've run off and the land is theirs for the taking. And so, for example, in chapter 13, talking about Babylon in verse 21, it has that idea of these animals are all going to come in and lie down and they're going to have access to the land because Babylon will have been burnt down. Same thing in chapter 17, verse 2, these animals come down and they lie down. But in those contexts, it's that this is a picture of discipline. It's a picture of ruin and destruction.
It's a picture of civilization being turned into a wilderness, right?
Yes, that's wilderness and warfare, no peace. It's the opposite of peace. But here in this coming kingdom of the Messiah, it's going to be a place where animals and human beings can come together and lie down together. And that's the distinction.
And, so and with their child peace. Playing with them.
That's
in other words, the people are there. And so it's interesting here. Sometimes I get asked, will there be animals in the kingdom of God? Well, it's clear that there's going to be animals in the millennial kingdom.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the question is, will there be animals in the eternal kingdom? And if I had to bet $5, I'm probably going to get some disagreement on this. I would say yes, that God's original creation included these animals, and he's going to restore that.
Mm-hmm. Just talking about this kind of reminds me of Noah, too. He doesn't just deliver Noah and his family, but he delivers the animals, too. It's just kind of interesting.
Well, whatever it is, it's going to be a great kingdom when we get there. And Isaiah 11 gives us a glimpse of it. It's not today. And it's not the church, and it's not just floating around the clouds. There's a real earth coming, 1,000 years where Christ reigns on this one, and then a new earth. And what an earth it's going to be. If you believed in Jesus Christ, you'll be a part of it. You'll be there. And why? Because of his grace. So keep grace in focus.
Read many from our library of thousands of free magazine and journal articles online at faithalone.org/resources. That's faithalone.org. Did you miss an episode of Grace in Focus that you really wanted to hear? Just come to faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We have all our past episodes right there on the site. Our team is really great about answering questions, comments, and feedback. If you've got some, we hope to hear from you. Let me give you our email address so you can do just that. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On our next episode, we return to our question and answer format. We hope you'll join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.